Welcome to Church with Dad, the podcast that celebrates the ministry of a father whose life was drastically altered with a diagnosis of early onset dementia. Unaltered are his timeless words, spreading the good news of faith, hope, and unfailing love, the things that are unchangeable, which will one day make all things new. We hear a gospel reading and sermon from Mark, the first chapter, in our fifth episode of Church with Dad. It was originally recorded on January 25th, 2015.
The Holy Gospel, according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we grow older, time becomes something we begin to shy away from. Isaac Watts, the writer of the hymn, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past," picked up on this truth when he wrote these words, "A thousand ages in your sight are like an evening gone." In other words, the triune God is outside our very idea of time and what it is. And that kind of time, which is also sometimes seen as a river, that time as a river is the time that we live in today, the only time we are able to know as human beings. It is also the time into which Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and we call it Christmas time, the time in which the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And now, 30 years later, Jesus, fresh from his baptism in a river, no less, and from 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, begins a very different kind of time, the time of the gospel, the time of the good news about Jesus Christ. It is time as human beings know it, but it is also a time into which the kingdom of God and his time breaks into the kingdom of earth through the Word made flesh, fully human, fully God. And these words from him: "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Now notice that this begins, "The time is fulfilled." Now don't worry if that phrase seems confusing or vague. The importance comes in the fact that God is in the midst of revealing himself to people like you and me. And as he began in Bethlehem on Christmas Eve, so God's rule is near. Perhaps even God's rule has arrived. I like Luther's explanation to the second petition in the Lord's Prayer, that God's kingdom comes on its own, without our prayers. But we ask in this prayer that it may also come to us. In other words, we are not the ones who are pushing this cart up the hill. God is bringing it down the hill to us. And sometimes we forget that, especially when we're dealing with repentance. Repentance, properly understood, is an I can't experience rather than an I can experience. If repentance is promising God, I can do better, then we are trying to keep ourselves in control of our lives. If we can do better, we don't need a gracious God, only a patient one who will wait long enough for us to do better. When we come before God confessing, I can't do better, then we are dying to ourselves. We are giving up control of our lives, and we are throwing our sinful lives on the mercy of God. We are inviting God to do what we can't do for ourselves, namely raise the dead to change and recreate us. The flip side of the I can't is to believe the gospel that God can, God will, and God does. And that is what leads us to confess that the power of the Word of God as law leads us to confess that I can't, and in the process slays us. That's what baptism is all about, the going down into the water, the drowning, and the coming up again, gasping for air, believing that there is a hand to pull us out of this situation, believing that the air we breathe will be enough for us to save us. There are many such situations like this in these early Gospels, especially in Mark. We are called these days, and particularly it's not a coincidence why these texts show up at this time of the year. The fact is, we are in a period of time where we are being challenged. We are being called. We are being tested in the sense of, do we hear what God is saying to us through His Son, or do we not? Do we read the Scripture, or do we not? There are a number of challenges to us for our faith, and all of them hinge on the truth that the time we have been given at this moment, in this time and in this place, and it doesn't matter how old, how young, how well we know the Scriptures or how well we don't, we have been given into this place. You notice that there is at the same time an immediacy of time. In other words, we're not being given to twiddling our thumbs and waiting. We are being called, as Jesus said, immediately He called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Him. They're moving, they're going, they're doing. And as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net, doing what they do daily for a living. And it is out of that daily doing of casting the net, of bringing the fish in, that we hear not only the "follow me and I will make you fish for people," but we also hear again last week's words from Jesus, "Come and see. Come and see and hear." That is right there, out there for us. So what did Jesus do? He went a little farther. He kept moving. He kept going and discovered that there was more to these brothers than even he had seen, perhaps. The time is fulfilled. Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming this news. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. And He commands us to repent and believe in this good news. He calls on us to recognize the hand of the Creator in what is happening now. After John was arrested, He proclaimed the good news. After we have done a day's work, do we proclaim the good news? Or do we just let it lay there in the road? How do we handle these gifts that we have been given? Where do we use them? How do we find them? And what do we receive? How many of us give thanks for the faith that we have been given during the course of a day, that we are able to use and put to use for proclamation, for simply doing our daily tasks, but most of all, for bringing honor, praise, and glory to the Father in heaven, that we would be His servants and that we would lift up to Him our thanks and praise for all that He has done. For those in the boats, for those in the water, for those on the sand, God is here. He is here now. And He is calling you to be part of His plan, part of His place here on earth. Amen.